Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at something, well, fundamental for animals, but maybe not always top of mind. Mineral and salt licks, Canada and the USA specifically.
Right. We've got this market analysis and we're going to pull out the really key stuff, the core knowledge for you.
Exactly. Our mission. Cut through the data noise. Understand this growing market for animal supplements, what's really driving it.
Yeah, it's more than just, you know, a block of salt in a field. It's surprisingly dynamic. We'll look at the drivers, the hurdles, and some interesting opportunities popping up.
Okay, let's get into it. The big picture first. Globally, this market was worth, what, about $1.8 billion in 2023?
Around there. And the growth projections are where it gets pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, one forecast sees it potentially hitting $4 billion by 2031.
Wow, that's more than double.
Right. Another one's a bit more conservative, maybe $1.5 billion in 2025, going up to $2.3 billion by 2033. Still solid growth, about 5% annually there.
So either way, it's expanding significantly.
Definitely. And it's fascinating when you like compare it. North America is huge in animal nutrition, the U.S. especially.
Okay.
Now, the general U.S. salt market, growing at maybe 2% a year, steady but slow.
Right.
Compare that to animal salt licks. One projection had that at over 10% growth annually. It just shows this specific niche is really taking off.
That is a stark contrast, isn't it? And Canada's involved too.
Oh, yeah. Canadian market for mineral supplements overall expected to reach over $700 million by 2030, growing at nearly 6% a year.
Okay. Solid growth there too.
And even pet nutraceuticals in Canada, where minerals are key, looking at maybe $270 million by 2030, same growth rate, 5.8%.
So pulling that all together, the main takeaway is this isn't just some sideline market. It's high growth, lots of potential.
Exactly. Significant opportunities there.
So why? What's actually fueling all this growth? What are the key drivers?
Well, number one is pretty fundamental. Just, you know, increasing global demand for livestock products.
Like milk, meat, eggs.
Right. And to meet that demand, you need healthy, productive animals.
Like
that. Optimizing their health, and minerals are just, well, crucial for that.
Makes perfect sense. Better inputs, better outputs.
Precisely. And it's not just about production volume either. There's this growing awareness among farmers, sure, but also pet owners.
Awareness about what specifically?
About how vital minerals are for just overall well-being, preventive health for animals. People are getting more proactive.
We see that in human health too, right? That focus on prevention. Interesting, it mirrors in animal care.
It really does. And then you layer on this other big trend, the consumer push for organic and natural farming.
Okay. How does that connect?
It directly boosts demand for naturally sourced licks. Think Himalayan salt, for example.
Right, the pink stuff. It seems to be everywhere. Animals too, apparently.
You bet. Then there's the way farming itself is changing, more intensive practices.
Larger scale, maybe more confined.
Sort of. And when you have that, providing precisely the right minerals becomes even more critical to keep the whole group healthy and productive.
Okay, so scale and intensity are factors.
Correct. And finally, don't forget technology. We're seeing real advancements in formulation and delivery.
Like what?
Things like chelated minerals. Basically, minerals attached to something organic, so the animal absorbs them better, way better than just inorganic forms.
More bang for your buck, nutritionally speaking.
Exactly. And also slow release boluses. They give a steady supply over time.
So it sounds like we've moved way beyond just sticking a plain salt block out there.
Absolutely. The market's shifted. It's less about basic salt, more about, you could say, optimized animal wellness solutions.
Okay, growth drivers are clear, but it can't all be smooth sailing.
Yeah.
What about challenges? Obstacles?
No, definitely hurdles exist. A big one is still awareness and education gaps. Meaning some farmers might not fully grasp the specific benefits of different lick types or how best to use them. For some, it's maybe still just seen as, well, salt.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So an education piece is needed to show the value beyond basic sodium.
Exactly. Then there's economics. Uncertainty, price sensitivity. That plays a role.
Especially for smaller farms, maybe.
Okay.
Or for the premium natural products.
Right. The cost can be a real factor. And just fluctuations in general, commodity prices affect things.
Understandable. Margins can be tight.
And the raw materials themselves, salt, specific minerals, their prices fluctuate. That hits the manufacturers and eventually the price tag for the farmer or pet owner.
And competition. It's not like these licks are the only supplement option, is it?
No, definitely not. There's competition from other feed additives, so the lick market has to keep innovating, keep showing its specific value.
What about effectiveness? Is it always straightforward?
That's a great point. Actually, ensuring the animals benefit fully is complex. Things like how stable the minerals are in the lick, how well they're mixed, and then, crucially, bioavailability, how much the animal can actually absorb and use.
So the label might list minerals, but it's about what the animal actually gets from it.
Exactly. And it gets tricky. Some minerals, like copper. There's a really fine line between deficiency and toxicity. Too little is bad, too much is dangerous.
Wow, a delicate balance.
It is. Needs precise formulation, careful use. And one more thing, especially with natural licks out in the wild.
Yeah.
Disease transmission. These natural spots where animals gather can become, well, hot spots for spreading diseases, like chronic wasted disease, CWD, and deer and elk.
That's a serious ecological concern.
Definitely. So, yeah, overcoming that just salt perception through education is key. Really showing the health benefits, the ROI, especially for the more advanced products.
Okay, dynamics and challenges understood. Let's dig into the products themselves. What different types or forms are out there?
Well, the most common is probably the block. Solid, compressed, you put it out, animals lick it freely.
The classic image.
Right. Can be plain salt or fortified with trace minerals, sulfur, sometimes flavors to make it more attractive.
Okay. What else?
Then you have lick tubs, usually bigger, often molasses-based.
Molasses. Why?
It binds everything, adds energy, makes it palatable. These tubs are low moisture, usually a mix of protein, energy, minerals, vitamins, weather resistant too, good for livestock outdoors, self-fed.
So like a complete supplement station in a tub.
Pretty much. Then for more control, you've got loose mineral or salt, granular stuff.
How's that used?
You can mix it right into their feed rations or offer it free choice in a specific feeder. It helps manage intake better, avoids inconsistency you might get with blocks.
Addresses that potential issue, you know.
Exactly. You also see Himalayan salt often sold on a rope.
Just for convenience.
Yeah. Easy to hang up. Keeps it off the muddy ground. Helps reduce contamination. Better hygiene.
Smart.
And for the little guys, small pets, you get smaller chunks, sometimes shaped like toys, often flavored, might have hangers for cages, gerbils, rabbits, that sort of thing.
Huh. Quite the range. Tailored for everyone from a cow to a hamster.
It really is. And the key thing is how these forms match the animal's needs and environment. Weatherproof for pasture, hanging for cages, loose mix for precise feeding. It's very intentional.
It's not just the form, though. The content must vary hugely too, right?
Yeah.
What minerals are we typically talking about?
Absolutely. The base usually includes those core macro minerals. Sodium, of course, that's often the attractant. Plus calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur.
Big building blocks for health.
Right. Then you get the trace minerals, needed in tiny amounts, but critical. Copper, iron, manganese, zinc, iodine, selenium, cobalt.
What do those do?
All sorts of things. Immune support, reproduction, bone health. Metabolism, really vital micronutrients.
Okay. And those Himalayan licks you mentioned, what's their specific claim?
They're marketed heavily on being pure, organic, natural, often claim like 84 trace minerals, calcium, magnesium, potassium are usually highlighted. The whole ancient source, long-lasting appeal.
Right. Playing on that natural image.
Exactly. But then you have competitors like Redmond Rock in the U.S. They mine domestically in Utah.
Okay.
And they push their own specs claiming over 60 trace minerals, sometimes saying they have more mineral content than Himalayan. A bit of a salt rivalry there.
Huh. A mineral showdown. Interesting.
Indeed. And then a really big trend is animal-specific formulas.
Tailored nutrition.
Totally. Cattle are the biggest market segment, so you see lots of specialized blends for them. Protein, minerals, vitamins combined. Products with names like Beef Max or Pasture Plus.
Makes sense. Target the biggest need.
Exactly. For horses, you often see biotin added. Good for hooves, coat, skin, like Redmond Rock 49. Sheep get their own balance formulas, too.
And pets.
Usually smaller, more general mineral support. Sometimes focus on dental health, encouraging hydration. And for wildlife, like deer, you might find added attractants, like apple flavor.
It really drives home that point about precision nutrition. No more one size fits all.
Not at all. It's about balanced supplementation for very specific needs, species, life stage, even environment.
Okay, let's talk money, the price tag. What do these things generally cost in Canada and the U.S.?
Well, as you'd guess, there's a huge range. Depends on size, type, brand, who it's for, all that.
Give us some examples. Small pets.
Small pet licks, maybe around 5 to 6 Canadian, or perhaps 20 U.S. for a multi-pack, pretty affordable.
Okay, and the Himalayan ones.
Wider range there. Could be $8 tad, up to $85 cab plus, depending on size. Similarly in the US, maybe $9 to $60 plus. Size and bulk buying make a difference.
So that premium natural label comes at a price.
Often, yeah. Then livestock blocks, like a big 20 kilo or 50 pound block, could be anywhere from $10 cad to over $100 cad. US, maybe $5 to near $50. Depends heavily on the mineral mix and brand.
Gig variation.
Huge. Lick tubs for livestock, generally pricier, maybe $77 to $156 Canadian. We didn't have specific US retail tub prices, but expect a similar higher cost for that comprehensive product.
Right.
Even wildlife attractant blocks vary wildly, $10 cad to over $165 cad. Similar spread in the US, and of course, wholesale prices bring the per unit cost down.
So what does that wide price range tell you about the market?
It screams price elasticity. There's clearly a budget segment just needing basic salt or minerals cheap, but there's also a segment willing to pay way more for specialized stuff, value adds, natural claims.
Opportunities for different strategies then.
Definitely. Tiered pricing makes sense. Compete on price for basics, but really sell the benefits of the premium stuff to justify the cost. Product bundling, maybe even subscriptions. Those could work too.
Interesting. Okay, who's actually making this stuff? Who are the big players, Canada and the US?
It's a mix. You've got established names, regional folks, niche specialists. In Canada, Uniblock focuses on molasses tubs. Canadian AgriBlend offers a range, including Redmond Salt. Livestocklix does natural, weather-resistant tubs.
Okay.
Canalix is known for affordable natural tubs. Then the big nutrition companies are in it too, ADM, Cargill, Masterfeeds, Tro Nutrition, and NSC Minerals is another Canadian name.
So local and international presence.
Yeah. Stateside, Redmond Minerals is prominent, really playing up that mined in USA angle against Himalayan imports.
Right, we mentioned them.
Cargill Salt has its Champion's Choice brand for ag salts. ADM is strong in the US too. Evolution Salt Toe, Compass Minerals, big names in salt generally, including Animal Licks. Mm. And then brands focus specifically on Himalayan, like You Made products, Himalayan Secrets. Plus companies like Jax Manufacturing or Tough One doing licks and accessories.
It's interesting that contrast between the local Redmond salt and the imported Himalayan.
It is, and that local angle. That could be increasingly important. Some consumers really value domestically sourced products. Redmond leans into that hard.
Highlighting maybe traceability, quality control perceptions.
Could be. For anyone selling online, knowing these brands, their positioning, that's vital for figuring out your own space, finding partners, or seeing where the gaps are.
And where do people actually buy these? Online, offline, what are the main channels?
It's definitely both, a real mix. Online, you've got the giants, Amazon, Walmart, eBay, Easy Access.
Yeah.
Then specialized online stores, FarmVet, Riding Warehouse for horses, Petland for pets. Places catering to specific needs.
Okay.
Wholesale platforms like Fair connect brands to retailers. And some makers, like Redmond, sell direct to consumer on their own websites.
Lots of online avenues. What about physical stores?
Still crucial. Your traditional farm supply stores, animal health stores, vital for livestock producers. General retail, pet stores obviously stock them.
Mm.
And farm co-ops, feed mills, they're essential distribution points for farmers. Like Canalix has specific dealers. Heartland Feeds carries multiple brands.
So even with e-commerce booming, those local physical places are still key.
Absolutely. The takeaway is you need an omni-channel strategy. Reach people online for convenience, sure. But offline stores offer advice, immediate purchase, trust for some segments. You need both to really cover the market.
Right. Now let's shift to the buyers. Who's demanding these products? How does it break down by animal type?
Okay, so livestock is a huge chunk of demand. Cattle, horses, sheep, goats.
And cattle are the biggest part of that.
By far, just the sheer numbers involved, plus the intense focus on productivity, profitability in the cattle industry.
Yeah.
You know, a single beef cow might go through 100, 200 grams a day from a lick tub.
Wow, that adds up across a herd.
It really does. Horses, they have specific needs, like that biotin we mentioned. Their intake might be higher, maybe half a kilo to a kilo a day.
Okay.
Sheep. Focus is often flock health, wool production, maybe 200, 350 grams a day. But across all livestock, the core need is the same. Fill nutritional gaps in their forage, support health and performance.
Basically ensuring they get everything they need.
Exactly. And for farmers, it boils down to ROI, return on investment. Do these licks lead to healthier animals, better weight gain, better breeding rates? Marketing to them has to hit those tangible benefits hard.
Makes sense. What about pets? Growing demand there too.
Yes. Steady growth in the pet segment. rabbits, chinchillas, even dogs and cats sometimes. The products are smaller, often have those hangers or toy features.
And the purpose, just minerals.
Minerals, yes, but also other things. Encouraging hydration, helping with dental health, just providing some enrichment, something to interact with.
So wider benefits beyond just nutrition for pets.
Right. And you've got that pet humanization trend. People treat pets like family, willing to spend more on premium, natural, healthy products. That's a big opportunity.
How should marketing target them?
Tap into that emotional bond. Highlight natural, organic health aspects. Convenience is big, too. Make it easy for the owner.
Okay. And wildlife. Who's buying licks for deer and elk?
That's often wildlife managers or private landowners. Used to attract animals, provide minerals they might lack naturally. Especially important during antler growth or breeding season, can be a management tool influencing where animals congregate.
Or potentially for hunting purposes, too.
Can be, yes. But that brings us back to the environmental concern we touched on.
The disease transmission risk at natural licks.
Exactly. Those natural sites can concentrate animals and spread disease. So there's an opportunity here to promote responsible use of artificial licks, safer, more hygienic maybe, with education on how to minimize risks.
An important ethical angle for that segment. Okay. You also mentioned looking at customer reviews. What popped out there?
Generally, ratings are positive. People seem happy with the core product. But the negative feedback often centered on, like, practical issues.
Such as?
A block being too thin for the holder it's supposed to fit in, or deliveries arriving with the block broken. Stuff like that.
So user experience issues, logistics.
Exactly. It highlights how important those details are. Accurate dimensions, good packaging, reliable shipping. Especially for online sales, those things really impact satisfaction, even if the lick itself is good.
Good point. Those practicalities matter. Let's track the product's journey, the supply chain. Where do these minerals start? How do they get to the shelf?
It often starts far away. Himalayan salt, mainly mined in Pakistan. Redmond salt, mined in Utah. So raw material sourcing is step one.
Okay. The manufacturer.
Yep. Companies in Canada and the U.S. process these raw materials, create the different blocks, tubs, loose mixes. They might tweak formulas for local climates or regulations.
And finally, distribution.
Right. A mix of strategies. Selling direct to big farms or distributors, using wholesalers, and then selling through all those retail channels we discussed online, farm stores, pet stores, etc.
Quite a global path for some of these.
It is. And that global aspect brings up another point. Supply chain risk, geopolitical events, shipping issues, they can impact mineral supplies.
So resilience is key.
Increasingly so. There's more value seen in domestic sources, or at least diversified sources. Companies with tighter control over their supply chain might have an advantage. If you're selling online, you really want suppliers with robust, transparent chains.
Makes sense. Reliability, traceability, quality assurance.
Exactly. Now, looking forward, what's new? What are the emerging trends, the innovations shaping this market?
Always the exciting part. What's next?
Well, that trend towards natural, organic, sustainable, that's only getting stronger. Consumers want clean labels, ethically sourced minerals. Sustainability isn't just nice to have, it's becoming risk management, brand protection.
Echoes what we see everywhere else, really. Food, consumer goods.
Totally. Then there's ongoing tech advancements in the formulations themselves. We mentioned chelated minerals, better bioavailability, more efficient.
Right.
Slow-release boluses are getting more sophisticated. Consistent nutrient supply, less waste, less labor. Some are even looking at tracking potential. And just more specialized formulas for very specific needs, specific climates.
More effective, more targeted nutrition science.
Precisely. We're also seeing innovation in just making them easier to use. Convenience features.
Like the lick tubs.
Yeah. Self-fed tubs reduce waste and labor. SmartLick, in an example. Weather-resistant formulas are huge, especially for places like Canada. And just simple things. Easier ways to hang or place them. Ropes, integrated holders, special feeders for wildlife adds real value.
Making life easier for the animals and the humans caring for them.
You got it. Marketing can really highlight that return on time, you know, peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Any other big shifts?
Well, that disease transmission issue with natural licks. It's driving interest in manufactured licks as potentially safer, more hygienic options.
Especially for livestock or managed wildlife.
Exactly. It's an opportunity to position manufactured products responsibly with clear guidance on best practices to minimize any risks.
So the market's not just growing bigger, it's getting smarter, more sophisticated, considering animal health, environment, usability.
That sums it up perfectly. It's dynamic, driven by a deeper understanding of animal needs and this big shift towards solutions that are natural, effective, and user-friendly.
This has been fascinating. Some real aha moments for me. That growth rate compared to plain salt, that was surprising.
Right. Really highlights the niche.
And the drivers going way beyond just salt wellness, natural trends, even labor savings. Plus, the sophistication in formulas now, the focus on supply chains, really insightful.
Absolutely. And hopefully for you listening, this deep dive gave you that shortcut, a clear picture of this complex market without needing to sift through all the raw data yourself.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Consider the ripple effects. How does this increasingly specialized animal nutrition market influence the bigger picture? Our food systems, our whole relationship with the animals we raise and care for? Definitely something to chew on. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.